This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. If you would remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The title of the message is True Sabbath. True Sabbath. Mark 3, starting with verse 1, speaking of Jesus. And he entered into the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that in it is life. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be receptive this morning to that message that you have for each one of us. I pray, Lord, we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive. Pray that you would hide your servant behind the cross. Once again, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's kind of amazing to me how hard Jesus hit the religious leaders on the Sabbath. And we read this one account, but Jesus did this repeatedly, and we're going to talk about that a little bit also this morning. But the Sabbath was a cherished Jewish institution, so to speak, and it was given to them by God, given to Israel by God after they came out of Egypt. And you find a reference to that in Nehemiah 9:14 or Exodus 20:8 through 11. And today's text was a violation, according to these religious leaders, of the Sabbath. But it wasn't the first time that Jesus had done this. He had done this before and was in the process of really trying to irritate them, it appears. Now, Jewish tradition was that there was 39 things that they weren't supposed to do on the Sabbath. But by the time that the religious leaders were done, there was 1,039. I don't know that exact number, but there was a lot of things that they added to it. There wasn't really detail on a lot of these things that were given by God. But I'll give you a few of what they were given. No work on the Sabbath, Exodus 20:10. You can't start a fire for cooking on the Sabbath, Exodus 35:3. You can't gather fuel for the fire, Numbers 15:32 on the Sabbath. You can't carry a load or a burden. That's Jeremiah 17:21. You can't do business on the Sabbath, Numbers 10:31 and 13, 15, and 19. Now, they had perverted, as they did with all of the laws that Jesus or that God had given to Moses and Moses had given to the Israelites, they had managed to pervert all of the laws, and the intent of those laws was twisted. And this was one that really apparently irritated Jesus considerably because he kept coming after this thing. And I'm going to give you, just to give you an idea how hard Jesus was hitting this thing, I'm going to take you to several of these places where Jesus got in their face, so to speak. The first one, it was kind of stealthy. In John chapter 5 and verse 5, this is where Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. John chapter 5 and verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" What do you think he said? The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps in before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the what? That day was the Sabbath. And we go on to verse 10. It says, "And the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, 'It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed.' And he answered them, 'He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk.' And then they asked him, 'Who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?'" Did it sound like they were really excited about the man being able to walk? Sound like they really even cared? You know, when you have to examine the situation, you wonder where God is in the Pharisees. Where is this? You know, here's a man that had been crippled for all of these years. He had been infirm for all these years. And when he was healed, they didn't even have the decency to say, "Well, good for you. Now, don't carry your bed. It's the Sabbath." No, they weren't interested in that he was healed. They weren't interested that had been years since he's been able to carry his bed. They were only interested that he was breaking the Sabbath. And they wanted to know who was behind this. Well, eventually they found out, probably, but that was one time. And then in Mark chapter 2 and verse 23, Jesus is at it again. "Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the what? And on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And a Pharisee said to him, 'Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' But he said to them, 'Have you never read?'" And then he goes on to give this explanation that kind of confounds their argument and makes them feel foolish, but we aren't going to get into that. And he said to them, verse 27, he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." And we're going to get back to that one in just a little bit. So, the Pool of Bethesda, the grain field. Here's another one in John chapter 9 and verse 14. "Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes." Remember that story? The guy was blind. Jesus spit on the ground, stirred it up, made mud, stuck it on his eyes, healed him. Guess what day it was? A Sabbath. I think Jesus is just trying to stir up some trouble, don't you? Now, I'm thinking here now, the Pharisees had this law. I mean, you know, this unbreakable law. It was a God law, they said, and you couldn't break this law. And now Jesus is breaking this law, their law, they claim is a law. My guess is maybe the Pharisees are wrong and Jesus is right. What do you think? What say you, right? So, the Pharisees somewhere along the line have gotten off the track. They've gotten this thing so perverted that Jesus couldn't even stand it anymore, and he went after it. Okay. Mark chapter 6 and verse 2. This is more of an insinuation, but I think you'll see what I'm talking about. 2, "And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands?'" They said this on the Sabbath day when he was teaching, so he was performing mighty works again on the Sabbath. Look at Luke 13:10. "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But Jesus saw her. He called her to himself and said to the woman, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Then what happened, you think? The Pharisees would praise God. Verse 14, "And you're ahead of me. But the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, this is the religious leader, this is the ruler. He said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath." Jesus could have done that, couldn't he? He could have healed on the Sabbath, or not on every other day but the Sabbath. But Jesus purposely healed on the Sabbath. Okay, Luke chapter 14, verse 1. This will be our last one until we get back to the text. Verse 1, "Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy." I drop things all the time. That's not what it's talking about. I think the definition of that is some kind of like congestive heart failure where you swell up and you retain fluid. I don't know, but that's what somebody told me. Anyway, he was sick. "And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees. And he said, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?'" Now, there's a point here that Jesus keeps saying. Is it lawful to do good or to do evil? We'll get back to the text here in a minute. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. "And he took him and healed him and let him go." I love Jesus. People draw these pictures of him being a kind of a wimp. I don't think so. He was a carpenter, remember, before he went into full-time ministry? I think he had calluses on his hands and he had biceps, and if he wanted to, he could probably hold his own in a fist fight. Anyway, I want to take you back to the very beginning of Jesus' ministry and help you understand what's going on here a little bit. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus introduces himself into ministry, and the tradition was in the synagogues they had a particular reading for a particular time, and people were given the opportunities to read. I can't remember whether they were assigned or whether they volunteered or what it was, but the reading was something that took place at a certain time. So this isn't the scripture that Jesus picked. It was the scripture that was for that day. And so they handed him the scripture when he was there. Verse 16 of chapter 4. "So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And it was his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" All of those things are ministry things. All of those things are God things that are beneficial to us as human beings. Look at that list. Preach the gospel. Heal the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives, recover the sight of the blind, set liberty those who are oppressed. Those are all good God things that Jesus came to do. And that's what he did. When Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's what Jesus did. Now there was the Sabbath. And the Pharisees said, "No, you can't do that on the Sabbath." Do you think that evil takes a day off? I mean, does evil have a Sabbath? I don't think so. If evil doesn't have a Sabbath, why would good have a Sabbath? See, the whole point of what Jesus was trying to say to them was that they have missed the whole intent of the law. We're going to go back to that scripture that talks about Mark chapter 2, verse 27, speaking of Jesus again, and he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Are you getting it yet? We'll explain it just a little bit more. When God gave man the Sabbath, now you think back, God gave the Sabbath to the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. And in Egypt, they were slaves. And they probably didn't have paid vacation or holidays or vacations as a slave, right? They worked 24/7. They worked all the time. And they were freed. And now, though, they were very busy taking care of themselves, like we are. We have stuff to do in order to take care of ourselves. But the Lord said, "I want you to take a day off and not do this." Now, when God created the heaven and the earth in Genesis, it talks about it, and he rested on the seventh day, was God tired? No. Did he need a break? Well, then why did he do it? He did it because he was taking this example so that we would have this example to say, "Now I want you to take a Sabbath," because we get tired. So when Jesus said, "Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath," the Pharisees had turned that around. They didn't care if it was good on the Sabbath. They didn't want you to do it. So good, Jesus' ministry, Jesus' healing, had to take a break on the Sabbath because of the Pharisees. Of course, Jesus didn't do it, did he? Not only did he not do it, he rubbed it in their faces. And it made him very, very angry. But he was trying to get the point across. You know, when God called for the Sabbath, he did it for our own good. Sabbath is for man's good, not for his harm. If the Sabbath becomes for man's harm, then it's not God's Sabbath. If Sabbath is for a man's good, then it is God's Sabbath. And for us to rest and not work is for our own good. And God says, "Do it to honor me." Because if you don't, you aren't going to survive. I mentioned this before, but there was a country somewhere, and I read the article and I can't remember the details, but there was a country somewhere back in history that decided they were going to work their people 7 days a week. And the overall productivity just went down. And they had to change it and go back, and the productivity went back up. We need a Sabbath. And so God did that for us. And it's not wrong to do good on the Sabbath day if it's a God good. Amen? I wonder if fishing is a God good. I'm sure it is. I knew I'd get an amen out there somewhere. Okay, now we're going to go back to our text, Mark chapter 3. Now, I want you to think about this. There's three groups of people. There was four groups of people in this place. And obviously, the first one that we would recognize, and one thing I like about preaching a story about Jesus, or any of them really, is to put myself in that situation and try to imagine what it was like, what would I have seen, what would I have felt, what would I have heard, what would be my experience if I'd been there. And if I'd have walked into that room, one of the things that I would have noticed, of course, is Jesus. Because Jesus was front and center. And it's obvious that Jesus is irritated. He's irritated because they are hindering or trying to hinder the work of God in the name of Sabbath. So we know what Jesus was thinking. Jesus was going to do this thing, okay? So he came in there. He spotted this guy with the withered hand right off the bat, and he knew what he was going to do. Actually, he knew he was going to be there before he was there. So here's Jesus. Now, who else is in the room? Well, there's the man with the withered hand. Okay, I want you to imagine his situation. Here he is. He knows that the Pharisees don't like Jesus. He also has figured out that he's, you know, Jesus said, come stand here. He's figured out he's in a bad spot. But can you imagine his feelings? He's got a withered hand and he knows Jesus can heal him. He's standing there thinking, oh yes, yes, I want to be healed, I want to be healed, I want to be healed. But he can't look too excited about it because the Pharisees probably, they know that he knows that the Pharisees want to kill Jesus. And he thought, well, if they kill him, they might kill me. Better to have a withered hand than be dead, right? So he's thinking these things. I'm sure he's thinking these things. He's going, oh, I hope he heals me. I hope he heals me. And then he's also thinking, what's going to happen if he does? What's going to happen to me if he does? What's going to happen to Jesus if he does? This man was in a pressure cooker. Then there was the Pharisees, of course. They were sitting in the back row. No offense to you in the back row. They were sitting in the back row with their hands folded like this. The Pharisees were plotting. They were half hoping that he would heal this guy. No compassion for the guy at all. You see what he said? What they said? Verse 2. So they watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? See, Jesus had the ability to heal this man. And because of their law, they were saying, you can't do it. And Jesus is saying, if I don't do it, then it's evil. I'm going to heal this guy. And so then they began to, when he did it, can you imagine this guy's astonishment when he just reached out his withered hand and it became whole? You remember the guy at the gate? He got healed. He was leaping and jumping and praising God. Leaping and jumping and praising God. That kind of has a ring to it. But this guy couldn't do that, could he? I mean, he's kind of had to go, well, that's good. Inside, he's screaming and yelling and leaping and jumping and praising God. But he's afraid probably to do too much because it doesn't say he did much. But the Pharisees, in verse 6, it says, and the Pharisees went out immediately and plotted with the Herodians. Now, you got to know this story. The Herodians didn't have anything to do with the Pharisees. The Herodians were people that were pro-Herod, and they weren't religious. So the pro-Herod and the religious leaders got together, which is like odd bedfellows, because they had a common enemy, which was Jesus. All because he healed somebody. Do you see God in any of this other than what Jesus did? And that was the whole point. They had completely missed the point. They had no compassion. They had no mercy in their hearts at all. And Jesus was pointing it out. And they didn't care. And then there was the crowd that was there. They were there sitting and watching the Pharisees and overhearing the Pharisees and watching Jesus and knowing what he's going to do and all waiting. And most of them were on his side because it said several times in the scriptures that they would have killed him outright except for they were afraid of the people because the people highly esteemed him, thought him to be a great prophet of God. Of course, he was much more than that, but that's why they followed him. They thought he was this great prophet. So how does that apply to our lives? Sometimes we have our own agendas, don't we? Sometimes we have things that we think somebody should do or the way somebody should be or the way something should happen. And we may reject somebody out of hand because they don't match our template of how they should be. I think sometimes we, like the Pharisees should have done, have to step back and say, okay, in this situation, what is important about this person is the person's soul, and that God is interested in ministering to this person, and that we shouldn't let our agendas get in the way of that. Amen? Of course, none of us are Pharisees, are we? We don't turn our nose up at other people and think they're just not spiritual enough or get in the way of the work of God because we have an agenda. We don't do that. But if we do somewhere in our lives, you know, the whole thing, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? We're going to close. Everybody bow their heads and close their eyes. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, the law, the Sabbath, you made that, Lord, for us, for our benefit. And, Lord, such a big thing, such an important thing as the Sabbath. And, Lord, you did it for us. And, Lord, that just goes to show how much you love us and how much you care about us. And even when people try to twist it and turn it around, as Jesus did, he began to set it straight and turn it back into what the heart of God was intended to be. And I pray, Lord, in our own lives, our own hearts, if there's some place where we have become critical or where we have become not like Jesus, pray that you would help us to be purveyors of mercy and grace and to be like a little bit more like Jesus. That if we make a mistake, I pray, Lord, we'd make a mistake on the side of mercy, on the side of grace, and that you would help us to be a little bit more like Jesus. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.